Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
CinemaSins has a fan club. It's called the Sin Club, and members get all sorts of things like early episodes, bonus videos, merch discounts, and even monthly bonus podcasts. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can sign up now at patreon.com/CinemaSins.
The problem with the mob stuff in this, though, is that the movie also like wants to have like this big message about mob mentality. And there is this scene,
oh my God,
that is horrendous, mm-hmm. where they mistake somebody else for Michael Myers.
Oh my God.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
Everybody, welcome to the SinCast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
And today we're going to be doing a mini pod,
Halloweeny pod,
on Halloween Kills.
This is the first Halloween film we've ever reviewed, I guess, on a podcast, right? I think so. We didn't do 2018, I don't think so. Yeah,
I don't think we did. No, I don't. Yes, this is the sequel to the sort of reboot to the, what, you know, the first movie is the only one they recognize.
This fucking franchise. Yeah, so this could be, I mean, this could be Halloween 2018 part two. This could be Halloween 3. I mean, what do you want to call it? This movie has like, this is like, I believe the, I think I figured out this is like the fifth timeline this franchise has ventured out into. So, yeah,
although are they counting this as a different timeline from the, this is like, well, a branch, so, off the first one.
Yeah, exactly. So you kind of have these different branches. So essentially what you would have, so you have one and two, like three is its own thing, right? So three, mm-hmm. is, you know, Season of the Witch, you, mm-hmm. know, that's its own thing. So that'd be one, right? That'd be kind of just its own thing over here on the, mm-hmm. side. So you got Halloween one, Halloween two, 1981.
Yeah.
Then 4, 5, and 6 go together. So that's, mm-hmm. like 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Then,
which is what, the Jamie Lloyd trilogy, yeah, or whatever, yeah, you want to call it.
The people call it, I think a lot of people call it the Thorn trilogy, because that's when you find out like he acts on druid constellations and stuff like that. So
yeah, but okay, that's weird because they bring that up in part two as well. So
that's what I'm saying. So part two goes along with that, right? So you've, okay. got 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Then you've got 1, 2, because Halloween H20 does include the brother sister angle. So you've got, mm-hmm. 1 and 2 again, and then you've got Halloween H20, and you've got Halloween Resurrection. So that's another one. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the Rob Zombie ones. They're their own, right. thing.
Yep.
And then you've got Halloween 1, Halloween, mm-hmm. 2018, Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
So those are your, that is that easy enough? There you go.
Yeah, people. That's easy enough. I totally got everything that you just said.
And then they're gonna tie them all together somehow. Somebody's gonna do that, and it's just gonna be nuts.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. Like, they'll have to be like three different Jamie Lee Curtises.
Into the Michael Myers verse.
Yeah, exactly. So I was excited about Halloween Kills because it looked like, to me, this is something that I've always wanted to see in a horror franchise, where the townspeople are ready to fight, and they know that there's someone out there. Like, you know, yeah. In the first Halloween, Loomis is going around trying to convince everybody that there's someone going around, and nobody really believes him. And in something like this, where I saw Jamie Lee Curtis, like, you know, saying, all right, we're, you know, it looked like she was taking charge and basically was going to be the lead of this mob that was going to come in and try to hunt down Michael Myers. In the end, I don't know how well it achieved that goal. There's one thing I appreciate about these new Halloween movies. They feel way more modern. They've taken the slasher, yes, into a modern, you know, they don't feel old and stale that way. But at the same time, I don't feel any fear over this character or what, yeah, he's doing. Some of the characters that get killed are random, don't matter, quote unquote, really. There seems to be no rhyme or reason to why he's going into some of these people's houses for whatever reason. The kills are brutal in this, though. There are some brutal ones.
Yeah.
And so if you're a big killing fan, you know, this movie's got them for you. I mean, it's in the title. Yeah.
Kills in a movie, not the AMC series The Killing. Although if you were a fan of AMC series The Killing, I mean, you might like this too. I don't know. I mean, that's, mm-hmm, possible.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I was talking about pure fans of murder. Maybe you've even committed a murder. You kind of like that type of thing. You will love this because there's a lot of murdering going on.
Submit your sin options for, you know, why these murders aren't realistic. Please don't do that, right. Actually. Do not do
exactly
that. I just realized that could be bad.
Would backfire. So I was really looking forward to something like that. And there's just no suspense, no feeling of fear in this, no sense of dread to me. In the end, it just comes up flat at the end. I just don't like it.
Oh, that's, I think you're being generous with it. Yeah, no, you're right though. It definitely comes up flat. I think the mob thing is interesting too. There's this, I like this idea that people are taking the threat seriously. Like, cause like, Jason Goes to Hell, this is a weird comparison, but the opening of Jason Goes to Hell is this sequence where, like, you find out that, like, they're actually pulling like a sting operation. Like, they're trying to like get Jason out so they can trap him. And then like all of a sudden you have like all these FBI agents and stuff, and they just blow him to hell. Mm-hmm. And that's always like stuck with me, even though the rest of that movie's crap. But like, mm-hmm, that scene was always interesting to me, because I like the idea that like you have these people are like, okay, you know, this person, like Jason Voorhees is a thing, you know, we've ignored this for like, you know, 20 years. He's been killing all these people that go to this camp. Like, let's get, mm-hmm, out there and fucking take care of them. And you kind of, that's kind of something, it's a different idea. It's a different angle, but it's also kind of similar to this idea of like, there's this mob stuff. The problem with the mob stuff in this though, is that the movie also like wants to have like this big message about mob mentality. And there is this scene,
oh my God,
that is horrendous, mm-hmm, where they mistake somebody else for Michael Myers.
Oh my God.
It's, yeah, so bad.
It is. And a whole speechifying thing, uh-huh, where it's like, look at what Michael Myers has turned us into. and look, I get it. I get that we're living in these times where there's this idea of if something is evil, there any means to knock out that evil is fine, right? Like, there you can't lose any of your, you can't keep all of your humanity if you're trying to knock out evil with something else evil or whatever, or you're or you just justify all of your actions because you're going after this one evil. I understand that. This is not the kind of movie that needs that message.
But what you were saying,
this is one that needs to be have balls and just say, Michael Myers is somebody that we need to kill, and just have them go after the right guy and not have the wrong guy show up to make a message in the movie.
I will kind of go off what you were saying about the things to like about these, because I didn't really like the 2018 one either, although I will say after watching this one I liked the 2018 one a little better. I appreciated it a little more. But I do like the. I think David Gordon Green and Danny McBride, maybe, and I can't remember their third writer.
Scott Teams.
Yes, I think that's right.
It's Scott Teams.
Yes. So I think they bring a sensibility to this that I just don't think they've ever had filmmakers and writers of this type do a Halloween movie. Mm-hmm. They bring kind of that aughts indie kind of sensibility to it. And there's like some humor in it. They're also able to probably get maybe better actors than a lot of people would, as far as like to fill in some of these smaller roles. Like you have people like Scott McDonald pops up in this movie. Mm-hmm. And then obviously from the first one, you have like Judy Greer's in this movie and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think you're getting like these, I think these smaller roles, Judy Greer actually has a pretty big role, but I guess some of these smaller roles, characters that just show up for a couple scenes, you know, you're getting people like Jim Cummings and McDonald and Robert Longstreet. And, you know, you're getting these character actors and stuff that are kind of, you know, around right now that are, you're more used to seeing probably in like an indie film or something, or a quirky type comedy or something. So I think that's kind of cool, because I think that adds a little bit of something to it that you just don't see in a lot of slasher films. But the slasher films aspect of this are just so bad. I'm not a killing person, I guess. I mean, I can appreciate like good effects, and I can appreciate like there's a kill in here involving a car door. That is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I really want to watch how they filmed that, because I think that's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually some people in here like you probably care enough about that you don't want to see them die, which isn't always the case. But I just, for the most part, yeah, it was just, it just felt kind of generic with the slasher stuff. And it was just a lot of, I don't know. I felt like these characters for the most part were really dumb, much dumber than they were in the last one. They were just getting themselves killed, basically. Yeah,
they were,
Jamie Lee, even though this one wants to take Halloween 2, 1981's Halloween 2 out of the framework, they sure do go out of their way to mimic a lot of it.
They sure do.
Including Jamie Lee Curtis being sidelined. For the majority of the film. I don't know. I really didn't like it. I don't, we can get into spoilers whenever. The majority of this might be spoiler. I'm not sure, but,
I don't know. I know that maybe them, the mob chasing after the wrong person is spoilery, but it's, I don't know. This is, I don't think
people to see this.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
No, I totally understand. No. To go over a little box office, really well.
Awesome.
49 million on its opening weekend. It's so it came out this past weekend as we record, and it made 54 million domestically.
And it's available on Peacock.
It's on Peacock as well. I don't know if Halloween has much of an international presence. It's made 5 million internationally. This is where the domestic, I think, matters more than the worldwide. Well,
and the 2018 was just such a massive hit, I think more so than any of these films have ever been. I mean, obviously the first one is very profitable and everything, was the most profitable independent film for the longest time. Almost, I guess 20 years. It was Blair Witch Project, I think, was the one that.
Blair Witch, definitely.
So I guess 21 years. But this was like this was such a box office smash. Like, this was like, you know, going into like the Conjuring levels of success, you know. And this one is doing really well, especially since A, we're still in a pandemic. B, this is readily available on a on a service that you can sign up for a free month and watch it immediately. So the fact that it made almost 50 million opening weekend is insane. And especially now, I don't know what the cinema score or whatever is. I have a feeling this movie is going to have a hell of a drop off. I could be wrong, but that's my guess.
I think it will too. Also, the 2018 Halloween, without all the factors that you just mentioned, made 76 million on its opening weekend. But I was looking for the international on this, and it made 96 million internationally. So it must do pretty well. In other places aside from the United States, made a 255 million worldwide gross. So let's go ahead and get to the grades on this one, and then we can talk a little bit more spoiler stuff. Yeah, I hated this movie. I will not give this enough. Like I may have mentioned before on these podcasts, I think it has to be like The Room or Birdemic levels of awfulness to be an F.
Yes.
I think it's close to a D, but I'm going to go C minus on this, because I do like the modern telling of it. I just think there's a lot of things lost in translation here. When you think of that first movie and how creepy and haunting it is all the way through it, and now it's just become this, it's become kill porn, where it's like wherever Michael Myers shows up, what kind of deaths are going to show up in this? It's cool that they're showing a lot of different what would you say, different family dynamics in this, but at the same time, there's really nothing that it adds to it, right? So they show an interracial couple in here, they have a gay couple in here,
Big John and Little John.
Yeah, exactly. So they have a lot of different representation, but I don't know if it adds much to when they die. Does it really add anything to it? I don't think it does. Although, I mean, is there something to be said for inclusion if you're getting murdered in the movie? I don't know. Maybe so.
By the way, I think there's an article out there. I think I saw a snippet of some article out there right now. Is like, does Michael Myers hate gay people? Like, I was like,
oh, okay. Come on.
Yeah.
I think he pretty much hates everybody.
I think so. I think he's mutually like, he's just going to kill everybody if he can. Yeah. I will say though, one thing about this, no, this is not enough. No, I agree with you 100%. Like this is a movie. Like it functions as a movie. Although I will say that is another problem I have with this that I can mention in non-spoilers. This doesn't really feel like, this does not stand up on its own. Like this is very much like a bridge between.
That's true.
Two movies, because they're going to make Halloween Ends. I can't imagine that they're supposed to start shooting in like January. I'm sure that's going to happen after this one has made as much money as it has. So this one really feels like it's just kind of a bridge between those two movies. I don't think like you could ever, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what Halloween Ends does, but I don't know that we're ever going to be like, you know, like thinking this one kind of stands out on its own. So that's also a problem, right? And it feels almost like an episode of a TV show or something. And, but I like Myers. I like Michael Myers in this better than I did in the 2018 film. I think he's scarier, although it's not scary, but I think he's creepier. I like the opening scene with the fireman is probably one of the better scenes in my opinion. And the fact that it does such a good job of establishing him, like I like that establishing shot of him coming out of the house, and like his mask is like a little crispier. And furthermore, I love that they kept him the age he would be. Like, I love that he's like in his 60s. Like, that's scary as hell for some reason. And you just see like the firefighters are just kind of like, you got that guy revving up the chainsaw, like chainsaw guy.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I saw that article about, does Michael Myers hate firefighters now?
He probably does.
He probably picks them out. Yep.
But I enjoyed that. I thought that was kind of a cool like establishing shot of like your movie's villain, right? But then everything that follows is just kind of garbage. I don't mind them doing him as a killing machine. And I thought they did a better job of that in this one because they even have the whole thing about like, you know, he wasn't coming after Lori. He was that stupid doctor character brought him there.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he just started killing people there. You know, they established all that was kind of confusing in the 2018 one. Maybe a bit of retconning, but whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But I still just, yeah, I, this movie just doesn't work. I hated it also. I'm not giving it an F. I'm going to give it a D plus because I do think it deserves to be a little farther down than a C. But I will say that there are, like I said, I like Michael Myers. I think there's some nice character beats, even though they don't really add anything to the movie. But I don't really like anything else. And we haven't even talked about the whole survivor character thing, and that doesn't work at all. They bring back characters from the previous films or from the first film that survived Michael Myers. You know, Anthony Michael Hall plays Tommy Doyle. They bring Kyle Richards back to play Lindsay. Nancy Stevens comes back as Marion. And that's a decent idea, but I don't think it works. Like I think they do it. I think it's so poorly written, and I'd rather just see Jamie Lee Curtis leading this mob. I don't want Anthony Michael Hall leading this mob.
That's sort of where I was on this. It just felt like this is something Jamie Lee Curtis needed to captain and then, you know, suddenly it's Anthony Michael Hall, who I'm fine with, but I don't want him to be the guy on this. A lot of people are stupider. I know that's kind of the point, I guess.
But they're really dumb.
Because the mob mentality of this movie is a big thing.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Now that we've talked about it, I don't even know if we even need to go into a spoiler section for this because there's not much to spoil in all of this. Is there anything that big that we could, that we need? I'm trying to think if there's anything in here that's spoiler worthy.
I mean, I guess if you want to go, I guess we could just say if you want to go in knowing no more, I would stop and then you can come back and listen. But no, I don't know that we need like a big.
Yeah. Let's just do that because I don't know if we need a whole full spoiler section on this because there isn't anything really spoilery about all this stuff going on. I mean, it's a mob going after and you know, I mean, that's a somewhat scary thing at the beginning. I thought that this was a pretty good idea that just wasn't executed right. They're sitting there like, we're going to kill Michael Myers. And the cop, you know, in this town is like, we can't just, you know, sanction mob justice here. You know, this is my job to do this and everything, but it shows what an out of control town he is. He's the sheriff of at this time.
He gives up pretty quickly though. Like
he does.
Like he just kind of sits down and kind of like puts his head in his hands. And he's like, man, you could have tried a little harder. Like Judy Greer should be sheriff of this town. she does so much more with less available to her. who is that actor that plays the sheriff? I was actually happy they brought him back too, because I really liked him in the first one. I think Omar J. Dorsey. We even wrote a sin about that, where it was like it looked like he had stepped off the set of another movie, and we would like rather be watching that movie because he comes in with the sheriff's hat and everything. In the first one. You're right. You're right. I just thought he like gave in a little too quickly to that, but I don't know. Maybe I would, in that situation, I wouldn't be able to do any better. Who knows?
Well, and maybe you start calling National Guard or something like, of course, that might be the third movie. They might end up calling the National Guard into this thing for all we know.
Yeah. And I never can figure out how big Haddonfield's supposed to be, because all these people at this bar, like there's like this fucking talent show going on. And there's all these people. There's all these people getting murdered. And like, I don't know how I don't know how a cop didn't show up in that general area and be like, hey, everybody, you might want to go home, or, stay here. Don't want to alarm you. I don't know. I just feel like something. I mean,
well, I don't know. Like, how many murders do we know of that everybody knows of?
Well, and that's true. And a lot of them were at that compound, in which Lori, I don't think, lives like in town. So maybe that's right. Maybe. I don't know. It just
because it looks like someone discovers Will Patton in this. And then it looks like the kid who was like hung up on the fence and made a pass at the Andy Matichak character. The kid that was spiked through in his neck or whatever.
Yeah. Because they bring Dylan Arnold back, who is Matichak's boyfriend, played Matichak's boyfriend in the first one. So he's back. He finds Will Patton, saves Will Patton, by the way.
Well, and also sees that dude. Yeah, it looks like people aren't really aware of all the ones that have happened out in the wild yet. This is the same night after all. And this is another Halloween 2 parallel. I don't know where we were going with that. I can't remember what we were talking about anymore.
Oh, I was just mentioning, like, I thought it was, and it seemed like a weird juxtaposition that all this stuff was going on. Maybe that is normal, but for some reason, in the way the film played out, it just seemed odd. And then, like, they're so ready to just go after, like, they don't know it's Michael Myers. Like, I mean, I don't know. It all seemed like so rushed. Like, I didn't want this to be 2 hours and 45 minutes or anything, like the Bond movie we talked about earlier, but maybe another 10 minutes of just something.
Yeah,
you know?
Something where there's a, because there's a line where they say something to the effect of he's ruined all our, he's controlled our lives or something like that. And it's like, well, no, he hasn't. He was in an asylum. He killed 3 people. He was in an asylum for 30 years or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And now he's come back and you don't even know about half the shit he's done. So, like the whole town getting in on it. Yeah, you're right. I think there should have been something that
he makes up for lost time pretty quickly, though. He kills a lot of fucking people in this movie, like way more than he even killed in the 2018 film.
I'd say
he's just walking into houses and taking out people.
Well, that's the thing that's so weird to me about this is, I don't know, over the years that it seemed like there was a reason. Even if you just say this is tailing off the first one and just the first one, it seemed like there were reasons why he was doing what he was doing, like he felt slighted in some way. In the first one, it just there seems to be kind of a motive for him going after the babysitters.
And he takes it's almost like art to him, right? Because like in the first one, he's like setting up bodies and all that kind of stuff. And you actually, what's one thing that was kind of funny, or not funny, but interesting in this one, there's a scene where he goes in, like this couple, I guess, that lives close to Lori. He goes into their house and he kills them. And while the woman is dying, she sees him stabbing her husband over and over. Like he keeps taking the knife out and like putting it different. So I took that as he's trying to set it up the way he wants to, and he can't just quite get it right.
Right.
Which was interesting because we've never seen that before. We know the aftermath of what he does, but we never, but that alone means why would he just randomly go into a house and kill somebody? It doesn't make a lot of sense, you know?
I know what the answer to that is. Like, we can't get into the minds of psychopaths, blah, blah, blah. But no, there's that. It does. It seems entirely random, especially considering what we saw in that very first movie. But they of course they tailed right off of that on the original Halloween 2 as well, where he was just randomly going into houses and starting to kill people. Like, it made sense in some ways because it's like, well, he needs a knife, so he went into that house to get a knife and he killed the people that were inside. But like, now it's just like, oh, this house looks open, I'll just go ahead and kill these people. Now that's pretty much what it comes down to. Okay. So a different kind of a mini pod. We didn't get into spoilers, but we didn't like the movie. So, what did you guys think of Halloween Kills? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, music video Sins Twitter, Discord, and SoundCloud. Where can people find you, Jonathan?
Oh, I'm on Twitter. You can find me at SamLoomis13. You can also search up my name on Letterboxd, where I do actually have Halloween film rankings on there. I did that, and I've added Halloween Kills to it. It's not high.
By the way, what did you think of the? I guess it was an actor playing Donald Pleasance playing Sam Loomis.
No, that always
or was a digital thing. I don't even know.
No, it was makeup. Yeah, no, I found an article about it. I assumed it was kind of a deep fake kind of thing, like they did with like Peter Cushing or something. But no, they made up a guy who had a really bad accent, bad impression. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. That was weird. I didn't think that was interesting. I will say we didn't talk about that, but they do show like they shot some like scenes that are supposed to have taken place in 78 because, you know, they had to change the ending to that because he gets arrested and all that kind of stuff. I did like the aesthetic of that, though. I liked how it looked. Yeah. I mean, it was very similar. You know, you had a young Will Patton, different actor, obviously. And that's where Jim Cummings pops up. And but yeah, no, the Officer Hawkins, has Michael killed again? No, I didn't really care for that. You could have left Loomis out of that. It would have been fine.
Yeah, exactly. All right. But, that's a little postscript to the usual sign off. But that's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Woggins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.